The secret disease of the West. The West is sick and rules over the world. That is the question. Is it necessary to specify that is it to do with the civilized West disease and not at all with the pebble-cutting Pithecanthropus living 250,000 years ago, nor with the iron-smithing Celt dating back to 750 BC? I'm afraid so. Because who gives us, nowadays, an authoritative definition of civilization? As for this Western illness, it is absolutely denied by those who claim to stand for it. Whereas the popular masses who frightfully feel its effects are totally unaware of its nature. Let us start by saying this peremptorily. The civilized West dates very exactly from the Greek miracle. In other words, from the advent of Hellenes. The appearance of Hellenes with Sparta and Athens. It occurred about 650 BC, and the event meant a genuine historical earthquake. Actually, it is easy to bear out this starting point, but it is another matter to get right its true meaning. Then, it is suitable to remind that many times since its beginning, our West fell severely sick. There was the Greek collapse, next the Alexandrians muddle, the Rome tumble, the Byzantians won, and the crumble down of the Holy Roman Empire in the 14th century. Isn't it a matter of the utmost importance to mull over these experiments? What happened at the time of these challenges that we had to take up? It is straightforward. Every time we thought the West come to do a full return on itself and claim boldly, how is, right now, the mankind's going in the march of history? Surprise! This single review from scratch of mankind in history was enough to recover the West and make it even more stalwart and shining than ever. The fact is striking and affects us very closely, as we saw light at the end of the tunnel of the Hundred Years' War in 1475. Getting by the same token through the hard ordeal of the wake of the Pope-Emperor device. So, thanks to humanism and Protestantism, the West would conquer the following signal privilege in the civilized community. To give free scope of the modern time and get the honorary title of free world par excellence. Indeed, the triumphal march of modern West began, taking at a stretch to the French Revolution and the proclamation of its great principles that have dazzled the world. And after that, nothing more? Yes, of course. The 1799's great abstract principles cut now a nice figure in the Civilized West Museum, whereas the latter finds itself sick as ever in practical terms. However, for nearly two centuries, we had no qualms. Again and again, and all over the place, about resorting to the old formula. How is mankind in history? It was of no use. On the contrary, we could not prevent our West from sinking still more into darkness and using our superiority only to entail to the world's woe. Very fortunately, when the tank is overfilled, it must overflow. That is the end of it. Totally disenchanted, here we are ready to see things as they are. And the beginning of the wisdom, nothing less, brings about the following syllogism. Major, this once was the modern West, having overreached its perfect concluding stage. It is definitely that its pathological state comes into sight. This merely means that the whole Western history, from A to Z, happens now to be reprised, and that the present secret disease of the West tallies with the civilization's ruin as such. Minor. Now, the bygone query. How is mankind in history was formally redeeming, but in so far as the West had to expand, to round itself off. We should not be surprised that the recipe becomes quite inoperative as soon as the civilization era expires. From then on, it is the very social foundation, blindly assumed beforehand up to them, which collapses and has to be reviewed. Conclusion. Which is the bias, which had not entered to mind of anyone, in the old formula, open sesame, in this key to difficulties as long as the West was expanding? It lies in the two words, mankind and history. Therefore, the old formula's pitfall vanishes. But provided that we utterly forsake the bother of how is, in order that never again set us out, except to redefine, from top to bottom, the basic knowledge aimed at mankind and history. Let's sum up. We must wonder about a brand new problem. Not either how is mankind in history, but who and what are mankind and history? What is the true meaning of these two words, wholly unknown to our fathers? Answer to this question consists, neither more nor less, in providing ourselves with the preliminary and requisite theoretical weaponry, thus enabling us to turn over the leaf of the fall of civilized West. The West's resurrection is by indeed of death. It is predictable that if we succeed in it, and we have to, the West's salvation will change the face of the world as we never saw in living memory. Asking at last the right question, who and what are actually mankind and history, points out two things at once. At first, that we are living the last moments of the West fall. Then, the two notions really stand together. Each version of the word history corresponds to a classic example of mankind, and vice versa. That said, there is like a leap in the unknown, as wishing to redefine humankind and history. Isn't it somewhat wild? Conversely, will there be upteen possible senses of these two words? In fact, all doubt vanish if ever we set about it quietly. First point. A first version offers itself for our analysis forthwith. That of mankind and history definitions improved by the civilization, by our Western world in the time of its good and shining health. Talking of this, something hot spring to mind. Our West arose from the Greek miracle, kept on speaking to us about one Mr. Herodotus, describing him as the history fathers. At once, we must ask ourselves as follows. What then not, before Herodotus being, such a thing as history? The very researches of the latter, which deal with Egypt, Persia, and so on, denying it. But then, should we suppose a sort of history devoid of historians? And for what classic mankind such a social state would be a good march? Second point. By the very fact of Kirk that we had marked, we will be directly referred to a second version of mankind and history, the one that had to be necessarily in force all through the social state that the West could never name, but only regard in the word prehistory. In this word described merely negatively, there was, we are told, peoples outside history, nonetheless fire conquerors, having traveled down the stone and metals ages. Thus, we have had in our part of the world Germans and Celts, Latins and Pelasgians, Etruscans and Phoenicians, Normans and Slavs. Characterizing accurately the second version of mankind and history will not at all only stir up ashes. Far from it. Let's notice that the civilization happened to be forced to admit being, as it were, debtor towards those primitives who preceded it. But it was as tacitly confessing its lack of understanding in this connection, and therefore that it didn't know what it was trying to say. Herodotus puts on a show of this strange ambiguity. First he says, "The names of Greek gods came to us from the barbarians, and above all from Egypt." And next, "Egypt customs and law are the opposite of the rest of the world." Note: Herodotus, a glorious Hellen if ever there was one, knew the acme of his diligence in the middle of the 5th century BC, in the age of Pericles. Edition 2013. At best, the bourgeois asserts this: illiterate, non-writing, human beings find themselves the floor over in fans, babbling in fans one. Only himself obtain the exclusive rights of a person, a true self.